Parental advisory warning. Carlosophies, provoking thought and liberating people from their own bullshit since 2015. First time here? Hit subscribe. You'll want to stick around.
Today, I want to talk to you about being a square peg in a round hole. And it's interesting. It's come up a few times this week. So I had a client call where it came up. I had the call, a call with a friend and old client of mine, Angela Raspis, and it came up in that call. And then also just now I was having a bit of back and forth via Insta DMs with another friend and ex-client of mine, Alison Davies. Now, you guys might be familiar with Alison. If you're not, you fucking should be. She's incredible. She was on Make Some Noise, and she's been on Carlosophies before too. And she's a, oh my God, I always fuck it up, a neurologic music therapist. But basically, she's a brain specialist. She is autistic, has sensory processing disorder, she has sensory processing disorder, and she is just, she knows all about neurodiversity, fascinating stuff, and how to look after our brain. So, you know, like what a meltdown is and how we can support our kids who are struggling with too much stimulation. Like, it's really fascinating stuff. Anyway, we were just having a little back and forth on Insta about, neurotypes, so autism, dyslexia, things that people are, it's who they are, right? They are autistic or they are dyslexic. It's not necessarily something that can be healed, it can be worked with, but underneath it, it's kind of who they are. And then you have, you know, disorders like I've had in my life, depression and anxiety. And we're having this conversation around how, for me, depression is something that can, and there's actually some evidence that supports this now, that depression and those kind of mood disorders can be generationally handed down through trauma. So on one side of my family, my grandfather went to war, and obviously a lot of trauma. He was in I think it was the 38th Battalion, the one that the movie Kokoda is made about. It was the first, they were super young, sent off, first Australians to be sent into Kokoda. And like, his story is just horrific. And since then, on that side of my family, there has been a lot of depression in each generation that has followed. And, you know, intergenerational trauma is a thing. And so we were kind of having a talk about how, you know, how some people are born with a predisposition, but in some cases it's almost like it's not even, it's more than that. It's more than a susceptibility. It's more like a, you know, it's there and the gene is turned on or whatever. So we were having a conversation around that and having a chat about like, well, there's also this element sometimes, and this was certainly the case for me, is I feel like my depression was triggered maybe by a little bit of intergenerational trauma. But for me personally, what I relate it to, and I've spoken about this a lot, it was like the suppression of self, right? Like, it was like, I describe it like suppression, 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 suppression. And at some point, there has to be a depression. And that is what I feel like my depression was. And I can see clearly now how I was really a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. And the past decade has been me grabbing those bits of myself back that I shaved off in order to fit in. And so there's that element of depression, which is, can be caused, I believe anyway, from my own personal experience. But also, when I talk about this, a lot of people who also have experienced depression say, yeah, I totally relate to that. That being a square peg and trying to fit into a round hole, and how eventually that has an a toll on our emotional and spiritual well-being, you know? Okay, he's still there. So, Bill, come on, mate. Quick, quick. Car coming, come on. Hurry up. Yeah. And so, particularly the last decade has been me really getting to know those bits that I deemed needed to be shaved off in order to fit. And so I guess I wanted to bring this conversation here because I'm guessing that, you know, when I was talking to Ali about this, I was saying to her, but isn't everyone a square peg? Like, is there anyone that's actually a round peg and can just slot into the holes? Billy, come on, mate. Bill, here. Here, now. Sorry, there's just a car. Come on, quick, quick. Is there anyone who is a round peg? And, you know, because, well, basically everyone I seem to attract to work with isn't a round peg. They're, and I feel like everyone's unique, but maybe some people have an easier time slotting it to the round hole. They don't have to shave as much of them off. They can accept that there needs to be adjustments made. But for others, it can feel like they're actually amputating parts of themselves in order to fit. And so maybe that's the difference. And I imagine if you're listening to this, you're likely someone who has had to amputate parts of yourself in order to fit. And so I guess like my work, personal work, over the last particularly 5 years has been recognizing those parts and reattaching them in new ways, you know? And yeah, and so I guess like I wanted to bring it here because I just want you all to know that if you feel like a square peg, then you're not alone. You know, I feel like maybe there are people who slot in a bit easier than I have in my life, or perhaps you have. And that's great, but then I feel like there needs to be spaces for us too. You know, the ones who don't necessarily fit neatly into the round hole. Because I feel like all parts of us are welcome, you know, and I'm not down for suppression because I know that suppression can lead to some really ugly places. And you know, this, I've been talking a bit, I wrote a post on Insta last week, which was about how, you know, actually I'll read it to you. It says, here we go. A polite person with good etiquette doesn't equal a good human. In fact, most of the people I know who are polite with good etiquette are passive-aggressive assholes. Anyway, the post that went on to say, suppressing yourself can lead to some pretty ugly places, like being a passive-aggressive prick. Don't be an asshole on the sly. Don't allow things to bubble up until the lid blows off. Don't dismiss what you're feeling because you don't want to offend. Don't gaslight yourself out of things that feel off, and don't send energetic daggers instead of asking for what you want. Asking for what you want or need from someone, or setting some healthy boundaries around what is and isn't okay with you, is anything but impolite. Anything but. It's impolite to be friendly and accommodating on the surface, but an asshole to yourself and then to others underneath. Show up and speak up, please. And I feel like this is what can happen when we shave parts off of ourselves. We can find ourselves either going into a depression, experiencing more anxiety because something just constantly feels off. We feel at danger all the time. Or we feel threatened. You know, like there's this, we're running on constant adrenaline to protect ourselves. Like this is the interesting thing. Sometimes depression and anxiety are actually forms of self-protection. And yeah, and so like if they don't come out in that way, having suppressed yourself into depression, they can come out in really passive aggressive, quite ugly ways. You know, like, you know, you've probably experienced feeling, I'm just turning around, so hopefully it's not, the feeling of someone sending you, you know, daggers energetically and having a passive aggressive dig. There's nothing that, like, there's nothing more ugly, I feel like. And I don't feel like it's who we really are. I don't feel like we're born to be passive aggressive. We're born and then we're taught to shave parts off of ourselves to make ourselves more palatable. And sometimes that comes, you know, at the expense of who we really are. You know, I don't think anyone's born passive aggressive. I think we're taught it because we're told that behaving in a certain way is inappropriate. And so in order to let people know when they're overstepping a boundary, instead we resort to something that is uglier than if we just asked for what we want, you know? So it's interesting, just like that idea of fitting into a round hole, I don't think it actually is. I mean, there are certain areas, like, you know, there are laws, I guess. There are universal laws about treating people with respect and all that kind of jazz. But when we're who we really are, when we have reconciled within ourselves all of the different parts, even the people-pleasing, passive-aggressive stuff, we've reconciled that and we recognize and then reconcile, then, you know, I feel like then we show up more compassionately, more empathetically, more understanding, with more understanding and more curiosity. And that just naturally happens for anyone who goes on the journey of reattaching what you've lost through trying to fit in. Like, a fully integrated person generally isn't an asshole, generally isn't passive aggressive, generally is what I would refer to as a pretty good human. You know, it's an interesting contradiction, or what would you call that? Like, duality, I guess, that being a good human requires you to actually be all of yourself, even the ugly bits, and just have understanding and compassion, integrate all those parts, turns you into a good human, where when we're cutting ourselves off, it's in order to try to be a good human. But fundamentally, you are born a good human, regardless of your neurotype, regardless of the disorders on the intergenerational trauma. We're all born as a perfectly good human. It's in us trying not, or going against who we are, that really fucks that up. So I guess the moral of the story is, be who you are, find love and acceptance for those bits, and don't be a passive-aggressive asshole. But also, I guess there's something to be, you know, like, go and do some research around neurotypes and neurodiversity, because it is really fascinating stuff. And the conversation that I was having with Ellie was really about how, you know, it's these, like, autism is called a disorder, and it's not a disorder. It's actually who someone is. And to call someone a disorder is just not really that appropriate, right? So, like, go and check out Ali, check out, you know, do some reading on neurodiversity and neurotypes, and yeah, like, I feel like the more we can understand ourselves and others, the better placed we are to, I don't know, move this planet forward into, I don't know, a better consciousness or some shit. Anyway, all right, I'm gonna go. If you want to join me, there is one last call for Show Up Speak Up, which takes place on Thursday, the last Thursday in July 2020. If you haven't, if you've missed it, that's cool. The replays are available. You can still sign up and watch them, just go to carlinimmo.com/wise, W-Y-S-E. And during August, I'll be co-collaborating with my divine soul sister, Kelly Brown, on Clarify and Amplify. So this is for you if you want to try business in a different way and you want to get clear on your message and what you stand for. And really, it's also about what we're talking about today, embracing all those bits that make you the square peg and be proudly the square peg, because it's the square pegs that stand out, right? So let's just give ourselves permission to be a square peg. So you can go to carlinimmo.com/wise to join that. They are free programs because they were funded by Women in Social Enterprise, an organization up here in Lismore. So totally free. Come join us. Okay, until next week. Peace out.
Want more me in your life? Head to carlinimmo.com or find me on Instagram at carlosophies. But honestly, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about this podcast. Until next week, peace out.